That is our prayer now, that you would speak, Lord. Speak to us through the beauty of your word, that this church and our lives may be filled with your glory. Amen. Amen. Friends, please do sit down. To think that these readings are strange for this Sunday, Brenda, presumes that you know that the Church of England has a calendar that you're supposed to follow. So with that in mind, let's get on with a strange sermon. If it's skipped your mind, it's 2020. Hey, and with the start of a new year comes a new short teaching series for us to begin together. In this series, we're going to be thinking about our choices. Now, I don't mean little choices, like what brand of coffee we choose to drink, or what day we're going to finally get round to writing those wretched thank you cards from Christmas. We're talking about... So no one else do thank you cards? Most. Well, I think it's polite for adults to write thank you cards. Thank you to everyone who gave us a present this year. There you go, that's your card. No, it's not yet. Yes, if we gave you anything, we're expecting one. Scrap the recording, Merrick, we're going to start again. We're talking about big choices, like writing your thank you cards. We're talking about the really, the very real and practical choices that we all make each and every day that impact our own lives and the lives of other people around us. Specifically, we're going to be exploring the kinds of choices that we can make that will help us to walk more closely with Jesus this year. If you'd like to see some of the topics that we're going to be thinking about, then posters will be going up in the lounge later this week and on to the church website as well, hopefully. So we're beginning this morning with a choice that speaks a lot to me personally, and perhaps it will do to you as well. And I hope that what we learn this morning and here will help guide us throughout the rest of this series too. So our first choice is this: choosing purpose over apathy. By purpose, I'm talking about a sense of resolve or determination. So choosing purpose over apathy. It's something that I think is particularly relevant at this time of year, because January is always a month of transition. It takes us from the wonderful chaos of Christmas into a time of something new. And no doubt many of us will use these weeks to be a bit introspective, to reflect, and to take stock of who we are, what life has been like over the past 12 months, and where we might be going in the future. We're always encouraged at this time of year, at the beginning of a new year, to cling onto high hopes and great expectations for everything that's going to come. It's what makes January seem like the perfect time for new beginnings, fresh starts, and of course, firm resolutions. A time to make positive decisions and changes in our lives for ourselves and for our families. I wonder, has anyone here made a New Year's resolution for 2020? Anyone willing to share what that might be, Joe?
Try to get to bed before 3 o'clock in the morning.
Bed at a human hour, I think sounds like a very sensible one. Jeremy, was that a hand I saw? Great, yeah. So, I mean, people make all sorts of resolutions at this time of year. So the ones that came to my mind were exercise more. It normally comes up after Christmas when we've eaten our own body weight and food. Drink less. Dry January seems to be a new trend that people have after the Christmas indulgences. It might be to work harder or work less hard. Perhaps for some, give up smoking. For Christians, there may be a more spiritual element to our resolutions. It might be to pray more, or to commit ourselves to daily Bible reading, to take more seriously that sin that we've been struggling with. These are all great things to strive for with a renewed sense of purpose. That being said, for the past 3 years, I've chosen not to make any New Year's resolutions. And the reason is this. I've made many promises to myself and to God in the past at this time of year. Most of them have been based around the daily disciplines, which I have always, I confess, found very difficult, setting a structured time aside each day to read the scriptures, to pray, and to study. And each time that I've made a promise like that, there are always days when I don't manage it. And eventually they accumulate in my mind and I come away with a sense of having let God down. Well, for some people, the new year is a time for positive change. For others, this kind of optimism doesn't seem to stick. And I point the finger at myself here. Failure weighs heavy in the mind, with goals not reached and resolutions broken or forgotten. And all of this can lead to a sense of apathy. Apathy is not characterized by laziness. It's a passivity, it's a pessimism, a loss of enthusiasm born from a lack of hope and a lack of true purpose. In those times that I made those promises, my purpose should have been to honor God through my discipline. Instead, I became determined to prove to him and to myself that I could do it, which, of course, I couldn't. I was only setting myself goals that I would fail at. If I promised God that I would set aside an hour every morning for the rest of my life, then of course I couldn't do it. The day would inevitably come when something prevented me from praying, or I would forget to pray, or I would simply just wake up one morning and really not want to do it. It's not just you. Don't worry, the vicar feels like that too sometimes. And a cycle of unrealistic goals can quickly lead to apathy when failures mount. I say now that the message of this sermon is not, don't try. So this is not your excuse to give up on your resolution. The message rather is this: approach everything with the purpose of honouring Jesus through it. Whatever the goal, make the reason about Jesus rather than yourself. So if the goal is diet and exercise, then we do it as an act of worship for the body that God has given us. If the goal is to spend more time with family and friends, then it's to praise God for the people that he has given us in our lives. If we've resolved to read our Bibles daily, then we honour God every time that we do it, and we remember that he loves us the same even on the days when we don't manage it. It's important that we recognise that these goals that we set are there with a greater purpose in mind. It is God who is our purpose and not the goals themselves. They are merely a stepping stone to moving towards God. So I might not set myself resolutions at this time of year, but I try and use this principle to tackle my innate inclination towards apathy the way that I think and feel at this time of year. So, what can we learn from the Bible about this? Yes, my strange choices for passages were deliberately chosen around these. So, perhaps if you've got the Bible open in front of you or on your phone, we could turn to John's Gospel, chapter 19. And in those short verses, 28 to 30, we heard an account of the death of Jesus. In John's version specifically of this event, we hear that as Jesus' death draws near, he says, "It is finished." Now, I think that whole books have been written on things that can be taken from these three short words, but I want to draw out particularly that to finish something is, of course, to complete it or to achieve a goal. In his death on the cross, Jesus was accomplishing the goal that was his since birth, which was to die on the cross for love of us. But importantly, his death was not the purpose. His purpose was to reveal the love of the Father and the wonder of God to all of humanity through that sacrifice. It was that purpose, I believe, that kept him on the path that would lead to his suffering. With everything that he faces up until the moment of his crucifixion, Jesus has every opportunity and reason to choose apathy. If we were to put ourselves into Jesus' shoes, I believe that was the decision that we would make. I certainly would. To choose inaction in the knowledge of my death and suffering. To choose pessimism and to lack enthusiasm. And yet, we think about the abuse that Jesus suffered, the rejection and persecution that he faced, the burden that he bore in knowing that his journey would end with the cross. Yet he rejected apathy. He rejected despair. He rejected hopelessness, and he chose his purpose. His purpose to glorify the Father through his life and his death, and to declare the grace of God for all of humankind. In every circumstance, in every success and apparent defeat, he always achieved his purpose. Of course, the main difference between Jesus and us is that Jesus is God. Jesus lived his life and he faced his trials in perfection, whereas we simply can't. And that is why I chose Isaiah 50 to go alongside this reading, so that we could briefly see this from another perspective. As a prophet, Isaiah's purpose was to bring people back to the Lord. However, at this point in the book, the Israelites are in exile. For his prophetic calling, Isaiah is undergoing a trial of persecution. He is being physically beaten and ridiculed for his trust in God. No doubt there were times when his faith was shaken, when his resolve was weakened, times when he felt as though he had let God down. But then we look at verses 7 and 8, and we see that it is God who he focuses on as his helper. It is God who he focuses on who is his redeemer. Therefore, even if his goals end in trial and failure, Isaiah won't be disgraced or put to shame. With the help of God's grace, he achieves his purpose. And those whose purpose was to stand against him and against God, as verse 9 says, were worn out like a piece of clothing, moth-eaten and apathetic. If all of that doesn't speak to you, then perhaps as I end with a little story and an exercise, this may be of value to you. Back in 2011, a friend of mine at university was struggling. She was struggling with apathy. I don't know the exact circumstances, but the end result was that she bought a t-shirt. And that t-shirt had "Reject Apathy" written on it. For her, it was a little protest against the way that she was thinking. And using that shirt, knowing that I was feeling apathetic as well, we started a daily pattern of rejecting negative things and accepting positive ones. Every day, either in person or by text, we would tell each other one thing that we chose to reject that day that took us further away from God, and one thing that we would choose to accept that brought praise to God. They were like little daily prayers. So, for example, one day we might choose to reject apathy and to accept God's grace. Another day we might choose to reject the frustration that we felt with someone and accept a nice calming cup of tea. One day rejecting loneliness, the next day accepting our small group, rejecting our burnt dinner and accepting a takeaway, rejecting a bad exam mark and accepting joy nonetheless. It was fun, it was silly, but it was also really important to us. And we kept it up for over a year. These were little choices that we made each day that led to a big change in how we viewed our lives, recognizing the blessing of God in all sorts of places and giving those things that made life hard over to him. In trial and success, God became the focus and the purpose to all things. We rejected apathy and we claimed everything for God. In this new year, we all have lots of choices to make. It is indeed a good time to make new resolutions, to strive to be better disciples. And my prayer in preparing this series is that it will help us to look at how we can set ourselves practical and helpful goals that will bring us closer to Jesus in all sorts of ways, little stepping stones that lead to that greater purpose. And each week, I hope that we will learn what it means to choose Jesus over everything else. But for this week, we start by making God's glory our purpose. Then, whatever our goals are for this year, whether we succeed or we struggle, we can stay focused on him. And this, I believe, is the ultimate rejection of apathy and a big step towards walking more closely with Jesus this year. Thanks be to God. Amen.